If you turn to 1 Peter 2 with me and read this verse 9. First Peter. So happy to be looking forward to the day today and the week. And we are so honored, feel honored to be the host of the visitors that come to refresh in our hearts how we are really peculiar people. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, we could say, special, different, unique people. One of my friends was raising a teenager, and the teenager said to his dad, his dad said, we are different. Our family is different. We are believers. And the teenager said, I don't want to be different. I don't want to be different. And the dad said, Well, we are. You're in this family, and we are believers, and so we are different. So that's the end of that story. Thanks for listening. Are you different, and do you like being different? And why? Are we different? And what has made us different? You can talk back to me. This will be fun. Anybody? Christ, Holy Spirit, the name of God, God, grace, the Bible, the church life, what we believe and what we think. We are different. Because what we believe, we can't really all, in one sense, it's not so obvious. Christ is raised from the dead. Oh yeah, prove it to me. Well, I actually can do a pretty good job if you're listening. I don't want to listen. Okay? There is a kingdom here. It's not the United States of America. It's not any country here on the earth. It's not an earthly king or president or government. There's a kingdom coming. Christ is coming. You are weird. What? You believe that? He is coming with the clouds of the heavens, and angels are coming. It's like, okay. Yeah, okay. Hey. We are different. We go to church a couple times a week, or we get on our knees. When we have problems, we go to God. We have friends and sisters and brothers that God has given to us. We can actually see beyond our flesh. I like this little phrase, a little action I do with people, like, I see you, I see you. One of those. Where is that coming from? John 14. Was it Philip or Thomas? Philip said to the Lord, the Last Supper, show us the Father. And Jesus could do this. He didn't. It's not written. Jesus could say, Philip, don't you know that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? I see you. I see you. That's a beautiful thought. I see you. We are a peculiar people. We are different. We can see in church history what the church is. We can see, if we travel to Vietnam, as Doug and Bethany have lived there for 2 years, and they see the hunger, the desire. When our Chinese brothers and sisters are traveling so far to be with us this week, and we can get to know them and see them and say, do you have the same understanding that we have about the kingdom of God? And they say in their hearts with their smile and their words, yes. We are a peculiar people. We are from the Ukraine and Hungary and China and Argentina and Mexico. But we're not the common people. We are a peculiar people because God is our Father. I sometimes say to the church that this is our living room and this is the fireplace in the living room, and our Heavenly Father is taking care of the family. And out there in that big parking lot is our driveway. And instead of having, a big 52-inch screen, we have another kind of a screen that we are looking at in the living room of God. And God is speaking to us heart to heart and saying to us, you are my chosen, you are my special people. I've given you my Holy Spirit because I gave you my Son. And because the Son of God was given for you, then I have also sent the Holy Spirit into your heart. And now you can hear what the Father says to us from this awesome book. And one of the things that he says to us is, I would like you to trust me with all your heart. And I would like you to think and understand that this world I have given to my Son. In Psalm 2, he says to the Messiah, ask of me. This is the Father saying to the Messiah, the Son of God. Ask of me, I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. So the Son of God says, Father, I want the world. I lay down my life for the world, and I want the world. That he that has made it has also become the governor of it, the savior of it. He has become the leader. He's the Messiah. He is the savior of the world. And you know what the Father says? I give it to you, and this is how it'll happen. The people that are saved by your blood, the people that I send the Holy Spirit into, I will ask them to lift up their eyes and look on the fields. I will ask them to trust me with all their heart, and I'll ask them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what will happen is that the Holy Spirit will save. The Holy Spirit will point to you, Jesus Christ. They will believe in you. They will be saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit. They will be my treasures. They will make up the bride of Christ. One day there will be a great marriage in heaven, and all the peoples out of every nation, tongue, kindred, and tribe will be there dressed in perfect white, presented in the mystical way that only God will show us in the future, where we are the bride of Christ and he is our bridegroom. He is now the head of the church and we are the body while we're here on the earth, and we are on a mission. We're a peculiar people. We want the world for God. We want Jesus to be known among all the nations. We want to go to the mountains and the deserts and the ghettos and the cities and the villages. And we would like Jesus Christ to be preached. with stumbling lips, imperfect words, shabby people kind of just in their own way, real common people. But look again, they are peculiar people. They are believing. They are trusting, and God is with them. God is with those people. God is with those people. It's beautiful. These are people that we had standing up here a few minutes ago, standing at your seat. These are people that are never seen by us. They live in Africa and India and China. These are people in Europe and Latin America. These are people who have gotten saved by grace. And these are people that somehow, by God's great work, were touched by the message of Jesus, by servants that were sent out to evangelize and to share and love and pray and serve. It has happened. We're not up here today talking about something that we hope will happen. It has happened. In this, through history, and in our family, our Greater Grace family, we, for more than 40 years, we have seen it happening, and we are just declaring it with confidence today and great praise to God. It's His will. It's His work. And we are peculiar. Some people are rooting for the Ravens, the Baltimore Orioles, and the New York Yankees, and they're going crazy about the basketball teams and every other thing and politics and so on. And may that's fine, whatever that is, praise the Lord, God bless them. That's not my point. My point is there's something higher, greater, strange. Strange. We're rooting. We're there in a stadium saying, you know, it's true. It's true. People are saved. People are born again. It's true. Christ is real. It's true. The message is important. It's true. There is a heaven and a hell. It's true. Jesus is raised from the dead. And this is our mission. Wow. So in our service, and I just gave my message, I think, so that's my part. But in our service, we have faith promise. Faith means I want to believe God for so much money per month. It's more than money, it's my heart. But it's also my money. In my heart, I want to be part of worldwide missions. In my heart, I want to be part of a group of people that is caring about the rest of the world. We have great needs in Baltimore City, but we are working here a lot. We have needs in the United States of America. We're doing something about it. But there are also parts of the world where they haven't heard so much. They do not have a Bible school. There are some cities, there is no church. There are some cities in this world, there is no church at all. And we want to be part of that. Okay. So we have faith. Lift up our eyes and say, Lord, I want to be part of that. Then promise or vow. A vow. I would like to say to the Lord, Lord, if you could give me an extra piece of money every month, I will give it to missions. I don't know how the money will go because it's not my tithe. It's above and beyond my tithe. But you could give me $10 a month more. That's like my coffee money for 1 week. Or $40. Or $100. Give me $100 extra every month. I'll give it to missions. I know you could do that. And I can believe you for that. And I take the $100 and give it to the missions to help support it and help us do things. We want to help support missionaries. Some missionaries that we are supporting is $50 a month. They live in a third world country. They get $50 a month, and that'll help them pay their rent, and maybe another case they may use it for their food or whatever it might be. Sometimes we have a need to help a conference get off the ground and rent a room and help people go to the conference. So we raise money for these causes. Sometimes publishing literature and getting some tracts and some materials and booklets and give them out on the street and share the message. So your money back in, you know, in America, in a small place somewhere where you are believing God, is between you and God, but God has given you the money, you're giving it to missions, and more is happening because of you and your involvement. That's your call. But once a year we do this. So there will be envelopes available for you. You can take it home. Think about it this week. Make some pledge if you like by the end of the week and say, I want to make a pledge and give so much money for this through this coming year. I have done it. I believe it. I like it. I enjoy it. You can designate the gift for somebody if you want to, or just give it into the general undesignated. Yeah, it's undesignated giving. Like you don't have it for a particular, but you're just giving undesignated every month. So that's it. Amen. God bless you.
Okay, today, when you came in, you probably saw the sign that said Faith Promise. Okay, it was right there in the archway. Did everyone see that? Okay, and today is Faith Promise Sunday. However, it's going to be actually throughout the whole week. You'll learn about what Faith Promise is today. Maybe you already know what it is. If you do, open up your heart to a freshness of it. If you don't know what it is, you'll learn about what it is today. It's a beautiful opportunity. Well, we see all these people from foreign countries in our living room. It came from, in the past, a lot of sacrifice, giving, believing. And Faith Promise is a way for all of us that are here to be a part of what's going on, what God is doing throughout the world. So today in this service, we're going to learn about Faith Promise. At the end of the service, you're going to have, you don't have them now, but you will have a Faith Promise pledge card, okay, where you can actually make a Faith Promise pledge and be available to this. It's just a great opportunity. And at the end of service, you'll be able to do that. And also throughout the week, if you can't do it today, you're going to be able to do it throughout the week. We're going to be here in the back with at a table after the morning session to talk to you about Faith Promise, to introduce you to a missionary, to explain any questions you might have about the mission field. So to start off Faith Promises, welcome Pastor Shibeli.
If you stand with me, I want to read one verse. Amen. Amen. By the way, if you're a missionary and you're visiting here, I mean, it's open to anybody else too, but you would like to come to the missions office and have some time there, feel free. Welcome. It's open. Hello? Isn't that good? Just come. Just come. You don't have to come just because you have an issue or a problem. Just come to have fellowship. We might even give you a cup of coffee without sugar. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look in your Bible or whatever you're using for a device. Whatever that may be, I have no idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Are you with me?
Yes.
This has to do with faith promise. And we talked a little bit about the Moravians, which I'll mention in a moment. For all the promises of God in him are yes, And in him, amen, unto the glory of God.
Amen? Amen.
No. No amen. All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God. No. No. Be seated. It's not, don't say amen to that. You forgot the last two words. All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. What's the two words?
By us.
And that doesn't take away from the, Jesus Christ, his life, who he is, that it's all done through him. We've been given the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians 1:13. But exercising faith that's given by God, because we all have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. And the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit have faith?
Yes.
There's no trick question. Does the Holy Spirit have faith? Yes. So the Holy Spirit lives in me. But this is interesting. All the promises of God are in him. This is finished work in Christ. In him, yes. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God. A lot of people want to forget the last two words. Oh, it's all to the glory. God's going to do it all. It's the promise of God. It's going to happen. Amen. Yes and amen. But God says we are participators. And it's not works. It's simply faith in God. By us. And you know, from this church, from Maine to Massachusetts, the three M's, Maine, Massachusetts, Maryland, okay? From this ministry comes forth 730 churches. That's not exactly right, but that's okay. It's my mistake. 730 churches. Approximately, there's upwards of 30,000 people attending GGWO churches around the world. Hello? Are you with me? And I was reading a little bit about the Moravians, and we're talking about 288 years ago they began, 1734, something like that. And at the time that the Moravians began, and they began to pray and think about missions, and they had a great missionary mentor and leader, Count Zinzendorf, but besides some of his quirks and some of the way he did things and maybe little things about his theology, one thing he did have was a heart for souls and bringing the message of the gospel. And I think that's so important. And we have amazing leadership. I would have never even thought about missions unless Pastor Schaller spoke about it at Starreton Chapel in the early 80s. And he preached a message from Hebrews chapter 11. I said to myself, I know he's a missionary. He's coming. I was working in the inner city with people that had drug and alcohol problems and working in prisons. And I said, I want nothing to do with missions. I think it's good, and it's not me, okay? This definitely is not me. I'm a city guy, staying right in America. I got as far away as I could. There was a balcony in the chapel. I don't know if you remember that balcony. There was an upstairs. Not only did I go into the balcony, I used to sit down, you know, to the left side in front. I got to see Pastor Shibley taken out by his mother by the ear one time for coming to church. This. I sat right down there. Right down in the front part. When I knew he was coming, I went not only in the balcony, I sat behind the pole. A big pillar. So that I couldn't even view anything. But that Hebrews chapter 11 touched me. Are you with me? Even when you can't see, you can be touched. Hallelujah. And so, missions. And thinking about, at the time that the Moravians were birthed by God, one out of every 5,000 born-again believers was a missionary. The Moravians, it was one out of 60. Isn't that something? One out of 60. Not one out of 5,000, one out of 60. There was something about the Moravians. By the way, what is the name of the street that we're on here? I don't think I hear you. That's not loud enough. Moravia. Why? They were here. They probably prayed right in this parking lot. I mean, they could have been right out there saying prayers. Oh, God, someday, some years from now, 10, 20, 100, 200, 288 years from now, we pray that God will raise up a ministry that will go into all the world. And here you are. Here you are. We are the answer to prayer. Are you listening? The Moravians sent out more missionaries in 20 years than all of Christendom in 200 years. Are you with me? They had a heart for missions. And I believe with all of my heart that every one of you sitting here, that's exactly where you are. Whether you go, whether you pray, whether you give, whether you make this church here strong by being an integral part of the Baltimore church, you are the reason that this has happened. God used us. By us, okay? What are those two words?
By us.
By us. And this is incredible. It's the glory of God. It's to God's glory, but he uses people. And people go, and people bring the message of Christ, and people get saved, and all over the globe. And my idea is, we had one time we had a high five. We had 300 churches. We said, high five, remember? Huh? 500 churches? Well, I don't know what to do about the 1,000 churches. Like, double high five? Can you give your person next to you two high fives? Like this, a double? Come on, try it. Some of you aren't moving. That's okay. A double high five. Let's have 1,000 churches in 100 countries. That's what's known as a goal that's not too far off. Amen? That's Hebrews 11:13. They saw afar off. But this one's not too far off. This one's not too far off. It's amazing. So we've got a vision, not only for across the street, but around the what? Around the world. We have this great desire to see people come to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. One by one, whatever it may be, church by church, disciple by disciple, one at a time. And this is amazing. Thanks be unto God, right? Who always causes us to triumph. How many promises? All the promises of God are in him, yes. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God. By us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. These Moravians were tailors and farmers, watchmakers, bakers, teachers, nurses, and doctors. And they went. And what they did in a few short years was remarkable. We think about people, the opportunities that await us. Thank you for giving. People gave, and Amy Carmichael was doing missions work till she was 84. People gave, and Hudson Taylor spent 55 years in China. People gave, George Mueller was still doing it at 93. People gave, and Wesley was preaching 30 times a week at 85 years old. People gave, and people are giving. We thank you today. The Moravians also had another slogan that every missionary should bring two back. Bring two was one of their slogans. Bring two with you. Bring two with you back from the foreign field. So we thank you today. Bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, right now we're going to watch this video presentation just of how this actually works. We'll see a pastor, and he'll give a testimony of how he's blessed and what our offerings and our gifts, our faith promises mean to him.
Over the last 19 years, you've been behind the work in Uganda and in East Africa. As a matter of fact, last year, within 1 year, within the same region, we had 10 churches planted. And it's because you are behind these men in the field. And we want to say thank you for supporting them. These men know that there are people behind them. And that's why they are able to move in different places and planting these churches. Last year, December, we had one of our pastors getting sick of liver. And he called me and he said, I need to go for operation. We spoke to God, but the other group we needed to speak to is Baltimore. And when we spoke to Baltimore, you responded. And we had him in a hospital. And when I saw him in the hospital, he couldn't speak. He was really completely down. But then because of the help and the doctors, he kind of like revived. But when he came back into his senses, these are the words he spoke to me. He said, tell the people in Baltimore and thank them, because without them, even this small time I had, I would have not received it. He's now home to me. And the family called me. I was there at the bar. After that, they called me and they said, tell the Baltimore church that we feel we are part of the big family. And they were very appreciative that you were able to help. The pastor was in the field, very sick. And even when he passed on, you were able to help and have continued to stand behind this family. We want to say again, thank you. There are so many stories that we can say of what God has done, but God has used you. You have followed the pattern in Acts chapter 2. The other church saw the need and they supplied. They went ahead and helped. And that's what you have done. I want to say thank you from my heart and on behalf of many pastors that you haven't seen, but you are behind them. So thank you. May God bless you.
Very touching when we see that map and think about Pastor Sam, who we just heard speak about a brother who passed to be with the Lord, and the Uganda, and maybe just thinking about all the different situations that people are in. As unbelievers without hope, they are just people that have never heard about Christ, and disappointments. Sometimes when I look at a world map, you know what I do? I think, okay, 7.5 billion people. And I go through the Bible and I say, how many people murdered their brother today in the world? Cain murdered his brother, right? How much incest happened today in the world? Lot and his daughters. How many people lied, feared, were ashamed, guilty, foolish? How many divorces? How many sons were arrested today in the world and went to jail today? How many mothers lost a baby, a child? How many dads committed adultery? How many people gambled and lost their fortune or their small amount of money? In this world, all the sins of the Bible kind of put them there in the world. And how much suffering, how much cancer, imprisonment, death, betrayal, what happened in the world today? And you just can just say, God, the world, what's happening in the world? And then, you know, God, How many people preached the message today in the streets? How many tracts were given? How many people were saved, visited by God? How many prayers answered? How many healings? How many marriages? How many births of a baby? How many babies were born? And a mom and a dad looked at the baby and said, God is real. Right? That's how I think sometimes when I look at the world. And I say this verse in my heart, 1 Corinthians 1. We are peculiar people. And one of the reasons why we are strange is because the wisdom in the... For verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by their own intelligence could not find God. How do you find God then? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When we went to Bible college years ago and we learned about preaching and then going out on the street in Boston, in the park, Boston Commons, and preaching, and it was somehow foolish. But that's what we did. And then when we were sent to different countries by our local assembly, they sent us with this in mind. We are sending you so that you will preach, and it will be a foolish method, but it works. It works. Do you know what the broken world needs? Preaching. Do you know what the world needs? Is missionaries, servants, preachers, pastors. They need churches. Because when my baby has died, I need to go to the church and be comforted by people with the Holy Spirit. When I lose my job or I gamble my money away, I need a church. I need a message. I need to be fed. I need to be loved. I need to find God. Because God is there for everyone in the world. He is. I would like everybody in Vietnam to have a church. Everybody in Cambodia, Laos. Wouldn't you? I do. I believe in it. I love the church. I think it's amazing what the church will do for me and what it will do for my family, what it will do for my community, what it will do for my country is amazing. And, you know, we're peculiar because nobody thinks like that except us. The world doesn't do that. They think about the big money, economy, politics, power, the social structure of the country. And we say, you know, we have a problem with education. The answer is the church. We have a problem with unemployment and there's no motivation. The answer is the church. We have a problem with our families falling apart. We have an answer. It's the church. It is. I'm going to finish. There was a French philosopher, apologist, Christian scientist, Pascal, Blaise Pascal. And he said something very interesting. He said, the problem with the human race is that a man cannot sit alone in a room. Isn't that profound? The problem with the human race is that man cannot sit quietly in a room by himself. Why not? He's too restless. He cannot find peace. He has to find something to do. He has to find another person. He has to find entertainment. He has to find something to read or something to do with his life. But we are peculiar, because when you get to know Christ, you not only can do that, but you long to do it. I want to be in a room with Christ by myself. I want to have this book speak to me in my heart. I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have a mission that is so valuable. It is beyond. One time I was saying to one of my children, I said, you know, our family is amazing. Can you imagine what people would give to have a family? Do you know what millions of dollars they would pay to have a family like we have? Where we have a family where we can sit down, laugh together, talk together, listen together, be receiving from God, be enjoying the quality and reality of a living God who loves us and has given us a mission. Well, I might not have a family that way, but I have a family this way, God's family. We have a family. And just to say, in finishing here, our family this week, we have gathered together to listen to our Heavenly Father, to speak about things that we have seen and we have heard. I see you. I see you. We have gathered together to recognize we are peculiar. We have Christ at the center of our life, and we've done something with that. In a foolish way, somehow, it's like the preaching is foolishness, but with God it is His power manifested in a heart who's hiding behind a pillar in the church saying, I never want to be a missionary. And the Word of God goes to that man and speaks to him. And I remember in Schermerhorn, Lennox, handing Pastor Shibeli a pile of letters from Ghana. Because Pastor Stevens had a radio show, I don't know if it was on an island off the coast, and Ghanaians were hearing it, and they were writing letters to Dr. Stevens saying, please come, and please send missionaries, and come and bring the message of the finished work. And Pastor gave me those letters, and he said, see what you can do with these. So I looked at them, and I gave them to Pastor Shibeli one day when he was visiting from Springfield. I said, can you take these, read them, and tell us what to do about it? And is that correct, Pastor? It's how I remember it. And I did not, we do not know how all of this works, but I am saying with all of us together as a church, that world is so broken. That world is so empty and deceived. This world is so confused and hurting. Come unto me, learn of me, I will give you rest. You will be able to sit in a room by yourself with me present, and I will fill you. And you'll start to believe me, love each other, have relationships that are rock solid because of me. You're going to learn how to love each other and forgive each other. You're going to learn how to talk to each other and have wisdom and share with depth and content in your heart. Because I am God and I've made you peculiar. You're different. One time a relative did a double take on me. I said something in the kitchen, and he kind of looked at me twice. He goes, what did you just say? I said something, and I don't remember what it was. It's just normal to us. How did you know that? How come when you, and then he said, how come your thoughts are something like a tree? And like one thing is connected to another. How do you do that? I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. I couldn't answer him. I know where it comes from. You know what it is because you hear it every week. It's a continuum of thought that comes from the Holy Spirit because we have the mind of Christ. We don't talk like other people. We don't live like other people. We are different. We have a mission. Others don't. They got a mission for their patio furniture. We got a mission for a whole country. They got a mission for like how they can buy a new car. We got a mission for affecting the lives of people that are hurting and broken. That's what we're doing. And the funniest thing is, the Lord just says to us, you know what? If you will get along with just looking foolish and doing what I say, you'll come back saying, it's real. It works. I can't explain it. It just is. God threw the human race a curveball by calling you and I. You know, that's how he did it. We're not much, but the power of God is with us. Let's do it and keep at it and be faithful in it. And our faith promises an opportunity for you to jump in that way. I believe even if you don't give money, it's your hearts, your spirit, and your prayers that affect this world. Let's lift up our eyes and take a good look at it and keep at it. I know it kind of gets squeezed out because I got a washing machine that's busted and a truck with a broken axle and I got a sport team that I'm following. And I know it gets pushed out and I got kids and I got bills and everything. I know it gets pushed out. But here's a tip for all of us. Keep it there. World missions is on God's heart. He cares about this world. He sent us into it. And by the way, we are the richest country in the world with so much money compared to the rest of the world. Do you know that 2 billion people live on $1 a day in this poor world that we live in? $1 a day. A lot of people live on $1 a day. So even the poorest person in America is way beyond the average poor person in the world. And I say that not to, just not to shame us, but just to say, hey, I can do it. I can give. God will give. I'm going to be part of it. I want to help in this world. I want to send. I want to be part of it. And bless it, Lord, in your name. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me for the altar call? Anyone listening to me this morning, if you are not a believer, come to Jesus today. Oh, this is more than I could ever explain. Way beyond. It is unspeakable. It is inexplainable. It is above and beyond what you could imagine. We cannot explain it. It is the living Christ, the living God loves you. And it's forgiven you. Come to him in his name today. In Jesus' name. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, start walking with God and you'll see it. Trust him. Turn from your own way. Put God in the equation. Put him right at the center and say, I trust you, God. Believe in you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, now if the ushers can pass out the Faith Promise pledge cards, please. Okay, so everyone that wants one of these, have one of these, their Faith Promise pledge cards. Okay, and on these, this has your pledge. Okay, and this is like we do it a year to a year, and this is the beginning of our year, and that's why we have Faith Promise right now. And It can be a one-time gift, or most people do it as a monthly donation, okay, a monthly gift. And you can give, like we heard in the video, to some, a general fund. There's a mission fund that you can actually give to, or you can designate a missionary, okay, or designate a country. Maybe you're interested in a certain country, you can designate to a country. And those countries you can find on our website at the missions right here. It says donate. You can make your pledge. There's a pledge form there, and there's a donate there. You can do that online on the missions website under give. Okay. And then when you, I'm just explaining this, and then when you give, when you donate now, there's going to be a subcategory of where you can actually choose where you want to give to. Okay, and then you can be very specific, or you can give to the General Mission Fund. Okay, so we're going to just take a few moments here and let you think about it. And also, we are these peculiar people, and it looks foolish what we do. Maybe just to do this, you know, maybe you say, I'm going to do an extra job, or I'm going to believe God for this. Do it in a peculiar way. Maybe I'm going to believe God intimately, thinking about this country with a prayer map in front of me, you know, believing in the souls, believing I'm sending money, reconciling people to God. Maybe you want to do it like that. Maybe you want to sacrifice something, you know, like have a plan before God where you give. Talk to God about this. We want it to be a faith pledge where we're peculiar people. We tell God who gives, I promise that you are a giver. And I believe that I am giving to you something you have given me for the work that you want to do. And it's not something you just do today or you do this week. Like I said, we're going to have people out there the whole week. But it's something where you're participating in what God's doing. You feel like you're with a missionary on the field, and you're giving, and you're thinking about it through the month. And you're supporting that missionary. $50 supports many of our missionaries in a great measure per month. Okay, you'd be surprised how far that actually goes. Okay, so this is by faith. We're not badgering people. We it's an opportunity for us to actually give to this. Maybe it's the beginning of becoming a missionary. Say, I want to be a part. I want to be a missionary. But this is how I'm going to start. Maybe you'll never go, and this is how you participate in being a missionary. Maybe this is the beginning of you going somewhere on the mission field. So, and this week also with the, you can be filling out your pledge cards or whatever, but this week, if anybody here, I mean, there's a lot of people don't know a missionary. If you want to meet a missionary, come to the missions table and we'll introduce you to a missionary. You say, I don't know who to give to. You know, come to the missions table out there. We're going to be out there after every AM service, and we can introduce you to a missionary. We want you to know missionaries, okay? So the way we're going to end the service today is we'll close here in a minute or so, but as you leave, you can write down your pledge, and there'll be ushers at the door where you can drop off your pledge card, or if you don't know how to do it or you don't know what you want to do, there'll be information. We'll have tables in the hallway outside here with people in shirts like mine where you can talk to them, and they'll tell you how you can set up a faith pledge. So we're in this together, and it's growing. It's not stopping. It's not being maintained. We're believing it's growing. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this this opportunity to be these foolish people on the earth that are doing something your way, but not the world's way, God. God. Make us more peculiar, God, that we would live by every word of God. God, we would be released from natural thinking, and we would think with you and put it on our heart, God, to see how we can be involved in world missions. So, Father, dismiss us in Christ's name. Amen.